When I hear the word deer, as it pertains to animals, I automatically default to white-tailed deer, and for what I believe to be good reasons. They are the most common deer species across our continent and also in my home state of Kansas. I grew up watching my dad hunt whitetails, and my first experiences hunting big game was hunting whitetails as well. I read somewhere a number of years ago that there are more whitetails in Texas right now than there were at the time of the first European settlers, say those we call the Pilgrims. In recent years, whitetails have positively thrived, moving into habitat types they haven't previously used, and adapting very well to urban settings, too. They have not yet moved into Alaska, but they have expanded into some very western parts of Canada. Put another way, they could be knocking on our door someday soon, and they are not alone. Another species, the mule deer, is beyond the knocking stage. They've already started waltzing through the door. Mule deer are more of a western species than whitetails, so maybe it shouldn't be a surprise that they should arrive first. There have been scattered reports of mule deer being seen around the Tok area for a number of years. They have also been documented in other Canada border area communities like Chisana and Eagle. In the spring of 2017, one became roadkill outside of Fairbanks, and still others have been photographed near North Pole. Today, let's talk about deer just a bit. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Okay, a couple of disclaimers before we begin. First, the deer family has many more members than you'll hear me talk about today. Moose and caribou are members of that family. I'm going to focus on those North American members that have the word deer in their names. Second, when I mention mule deer and whitetails starting to push in Alaska's direction, it bears remembering that we are the ones that slap boundaries on what we believe to be the normal ranges of various animal species. The animals themselves don't care a hill of beans about what we think about where we believe they travel and live, and oddball sightings come up from time to time, such as the Eurasian bullfinch around Dillingham, or the great blue heron down at the small boat harbor a few years back. That heron was only about 1,500 miles off course. I have seen occasional photos of moose in the middle of Kansas, which is decidedly a long ways off the beaten path of where they're normally found. That said, in the case of two of the deer we'll talk about today, it's possible that it's more than just passing through. The animals we call deer, also known as the Cervidae family, includes a multitude of critters to include elk, moose, caribou, mule deer, white-tailed deer, and black-tailed deer, as well as a large contingent of subspecies of each of those. Today, I'd like to talk a little about the three that have the word deer in their names. None of these have any direct bearing on the refuge area at the moment. Maybe they won't ever. But in the case of two, they do have a status within our state, and that could eventually expand to include all three. I'll start with the one that's not here yet, though that could change. The white-tailed deer. White-tailed deer, as I mentioned, are the continent's most common and successful deer. They are simply everywhere, and continue to spread, and they are often found in dizzying numbers in many places. Their current range covers most of North America, with the exception of Alaska, Hawaii, and some extreme areas in the Southwest. Their range continues to expand with each passing year, to include parts of Canada not terribly far from Alaska. They have been able to adapt to pretty much anything humans have thrown at them. They are our country's most popular big game animal. A lot of that probably has to do with accessibility. Having hunted them myself for a good portion of my life, it's my opinion they are fun to hunt and terrific table fare. There's just not anything really not to like. Whitetails have brownish coats, white undersides, and a tail with a white underside, hence the name. They use that tail as a warning flag when spooked, raising it straight up so that it looks like a white flag. You usually see that right before they head for lands found in the next area code over. The tail is brown on the top side. There are several subspecies ranging from the very tiny Florida key deer to real bruisers found in northern wooded areas. Fully mature males can weigh over 300 pounds. Think big bull caribou. But most weigh 150 to 200 pounds across most of their range. Females, called does, are normally 100 to 130 pounds. The antlers differ from the other two species of deer we'll talk about. They have a main beam that curves back away from the skull, initially, before coming forward again, and they have tines that grow upwards from those main beams. There are often matching points right above the skull called brow tines. Normal racks vary somewhat in shape, size, and color, and from geographical location to geographical location. The average Kansas buck, for example, will have 8 to 10 points and a spread of 16 to 20 inches. Whitetail habitat across the lower 48 includes pretty much anything you could hit with a dart on a map, to include major metropolitan areas. Mountain ranges, forests, wide open grasslands, rolling woodlots and farm country, and pretty much everything in between. When I mention their adaptation to urban areas, let me offer up one example. Staten Island, New York. Staten Island is roughly 12 miles long and 6 miles wide. Put another way, you could fit it between Dillingham and Alaknagik and have space left over at each end. In 2008, the estimated deer population on the island was 24. That's just 13 years ago. Today, the population is estimated to be approaching 2,500. Similar results can be seen around most major metropolitan areas, particularly on the East Coast. Next, mule deer, the species that has started to make incursions into Alaska. Mule deer are a western species. They inhabit every state west of a line, from North Dakota to Texas. They are normally a bit larger than their white-tailed cousins. Mature bucks can weigh in the high 300s, though the average is probably something more like 180 to 280 pounds. They get their name from their large ears, which apparently resembled a mule, to whoever it was who dropped that name on them. They are often a grayish brown in color, have a white rump, and their tail is narrow and white with a black tip. Also, they have a darker colored cap of fur on their foreheads. It's very distinctive. The antlers are different from those of a white tail. The term is bifurcated, which means the antlers branch into two separate forks. Oh, and one other characteristic is their distinctive way of bounding away from danger, with a motion that's called stotting. It looks unmistakably like hopping away on a pogo stick. Whereas whitetails have increased in range and total number, mule deer have been on the decline in many places. Unlike the whitetails, they have not adapted to urban areas encroaching on traditional habitat across much of their range. Pressure from human influences have caused a loss in suitable habitat, and they just have not adapted well to that. In addition to these pressures, non-native types of vegetation have taken the place of nutrient-dense native plants that they normally depend on. Mule deer prefer rugged, remote habitats that include places such as Nebraska's Sandhills region, the desert southwest, and the Rocky Mountains. While whitetails are huge fans of agricultural offerings, mule deer eat sage, conifers, and other types of vegetation. And while mule deer and whitetails overlap in many places, it's not uncommon for mule deer to shrink back in places where whitetails move in. And then there's that deer species that's already here, the Sitka black-tailed deer. Sitkas inhabit the Panhandle, Prince William Sound, and Kodiak Island. They are related to mule deer and also have bifurcated antlers and a dark cap of hair atop their heads. They are smaller in size and stockier in shape, though. Bucks will run 120 to 150 pounds and occasionally reach 200 pounds. Does are closer to 100 pounds, give or take a bit. Also, regarding their antlers are a lot smaller than those found on a mule deer. They are often a dark chocolate brown in color, but can also be a breathtaking chestnut brown to orange. The tail looks a lot like a whitetail's tail, dark on top, white underneath, except that the top is, yeah, you guessed it, black. Sitka deer populations in Alaska are dynamic and can fluctuate in crazy ways. They are very susceptible to severe winters, and die-offs can happen. When winters are mild, deer numbers generally move back up. Fortunately, they have a high reproductive potential, and reduced populations often rebound rapidly. In some places, predation can take a toll and either cause a decline or slow down a recovery. They are our very own species, and they remain a species that's on my own personal bucket list to hunt someday. So, there you have it, three types of deer. Ignoring for this time anyway, the various subspecies. Whitetails, mule deer, and Sitka blacktails. One we have and always have had. One is making small inroads, and one's not too far down the road, so to speak. The issue with the two newcomers, whitetails and mule deer, is the possibility of new diseases that could spread to native populations. But that's a topic for more time and a different episode. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.